Good afternoon. Well, this is Tuesday of Holy Week, and the events of Tuesday of Holy Week is numerous, or at least the conversation is. It's Jesus, there was the Olivet Discourse, all kinds of parables, and where Jesus was confronting the Pharisees, and a number of things happen. So if you're going to do a 10-minute message on Holy Tuesday, you better find one thing. And this is what God really just reminded me of and spoke to me about in my time with him. This is from Matthew 21, and Jesus spoke these words on Holy Tuesday. Verse 34 says, when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments depend or hang the whole law and the prophets. That's a powerful statement, that everything that's written by the prophets, everything that's written in the law, is fulfilled in this great and foremost commandment. The thing that the Lord reminded me of that we haven't talked about in some time is that this isn't just a commandment. It's actually a prophetic promise. He doesn't say, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, you shall. Of course, this is a quote from the Old Testament. So this is one of those things that transcended law or prophets. It's just the truth, whether Old or New Testament. And the declaration is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and one of the gospel accounts says, in strength. That's always blessed me, that God believed in me that much, that he could speak over me, Chuck, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, one of the things that we've learned over the years about prophetic words is if somebody gives you a prophetic word, it's not an absolute guarantee most of the time that it's going to happen. It is an invitation to believe something, that God might fulfill that which has been spoken. Not all the time. Sometimes there's just a prophetic word about some sovereign thing that God's going to do. But personal words are generally invitations, opportunities. And so this is a prophetic promise over each of us. But God's also wanting our response to this prophetic word about us. And that response is just to be the simple yes. There's this scripture really familiar in Luke 10. This is Martha and Mary. And Martha's serving, Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, beholding his face, hearing his voice. Martha gets disturbed. As a matter of fact, it says she was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. The Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. For Mary has chosen, but there's only a few things that are necessary, really just one. And Mary has chosen the good part. He makes a statement, which shall not be taken away from her. It's not that there wasn't things to be served, but there's a priority. There's a first and great commandment. If a person doesn't get that, but they have a heart to serve, often they'll try to find their worth and value in their serving. If they're serving out of worship, because their first commandment has become their great priority, then it flows out of a place of worth in him, not looking for worth and value by doing things for him. But that's not really the issue. I wanted you to see that Mary made a choice, and Jesus said about that choice, and it will not be taken away from her. There have been a lot of times in my life in the last few years where there have been a lot of interruptions to my routine. And every once in a while, I'll have those thoughts. It says, you'll never be able, it'll never, the routine will never, and what if you lose your desire to have the routine of prayer, the hours you used to spend? And the Lord would always tell me, Chuck, it'll never be taken away from you. What I've put in you, because you made the simple choice that you're going to make the pursuit, the first and great commandment, becomes your first priority. That'll never be taken from you. There's a scripture, I love this, towards the end of the Song of Solomon, that's kind of this word. Says, verse 6 of chapter 8, this is the Shulamite, the believer, speaking. This is Jesus speaking to the believer. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For my love for you is as strong as death. His jealousy is as severe as Sheol. His flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. And nothing can quench my love for you. Waters can't quench it. Rivers can't overflow it. And if a man were to give all of his riches, his house for love, it would be utterly despised. This is when in the book of Zechariah, Zerubbabel was one of the first wave of people to leave Babylon to go back to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. He was appointed like the first head of Jerusalem. And he spent 2 years and built the foundation of the temple back. But after 2 years, because of attacks, there was a 17-year pause. And after the 17-year pause, God sent Ezra, Zechariah, to speak to Zerubbabel that even though there's been a pause, it's not over. That don't despise the day of small beginnings. That was a verse from Zechariah. There's a scripture even in Zechariah that says that you're the apple of God's eye. the word apple there is actually the Hebrew word for pupil. You are the pupil of God's eye. And the Hebrew meaning of that is that when you look into God's eye, he's so infatuated with you. He's so in love with you, you'll see your image reflected in his pupil. Now he says this to Zechariah and to a people who've not been getting it right for 17 years. They invited some foreigners into the place to help them. The foreigners began to cause conflict. And for 17 years, the house of the Lord was on pause. But after 17 years, God spoke to them. And he says this in verse 6 of chapter 4. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. For who has despised the day of small beginnings? I like this scripture. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this is from chapter 8, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts? The thing I love is that he talks about Zerubbabel building this, but he starts off by saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And when Zerubbabel puts the cap, the final piece on the top of the temple, he said there's going to be shouts of what? Grace, grace. It was the Lord. Here's the bottom line. The point is, God's looking for a people who will honor his first and foremost commandment. That the first commandment, like Bickles would say, would have first place. We would make that choice. Even if it's a weak choice, even if you don't know where to go from there, it will not be by your might, by your strength, but by his spirit. And there may be pauses, and there may not be a perfect thing, but in the end, his inflamed determination will keep stirring that thing up in you. He just wants to hear yes. And when it's all done, as you get older and older, as God's putting the top on it, you're crying out, grace, grace. Because it's a promise from God. And everything God's promised, he will perform. He just wants us to say yes. I thought this was a good one to pick because this whole week is about God demonstrating, he didn't just accomplish the victory over the powers of darkness and the reign of sin, but he also accomplished demonstrating at the cross the truest nature of God's love. And his thirsting heart, when he cried out thirst, was a thirst for broken and fallen humanity, not just to be whole, but to love him back. So this is the most appropriate time for me to pick this particular word from all the things that happened on Holy Tuesday is God's great and foremost commandment, was to love him, his promise that you shall love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, because grace, grace will accomplish it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.